Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today on Advanced, we study the reinvention of the rectangle. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're beginning our second article of the month, and we're excited that you're joining us for it. My name is Naomi Beeshavel, and you can find our article today beginning on page 12 of your February Advanced magazines. So please go ahead and turn there while I introduce our panelists. First of all, joining us, as usual, is Bill Quinn.
Yeah. Hi, Naomi, and hello, listeners. Great to be here, and I love this article. This is a great article, very interesting topic, and some fantastic vocabulary in it.
There is a lot of good vocabulary.
Yep.
So do you have any tips for our listeners to help them focus on the vocabulary that they need?
Well, I always have maybe a different color pen or highlighter and will underline or highlight words that are not bold printed. Obviously, we've got specialized terms and vocabulary focus words in the bold print, but there's so many other idioms and terms that you really need to underline or highlight, and we talk about them as we go through.
Right. So you can actually, if you're listening on your MP3 or on a CD, I suggest that you pause a minute and go through and highlight some of the words that you're not familiar with and see if you can figure them out as we continue our discussion. Also, we're very glad to have with us a special guest who visits us occasionally. Craig Shaver, welcome.
Well, thank you, Naomi and Bill. It's a pleasure to be back here with Aura TV and Studio Classroom Advanced.
It's great to have you again. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've been in Taiwan for the last 21 years, and I am a pilot. I spend a lot of time in the air away from Taiwan, but a pilot with EVA Airways.
Okay, so spending a lot of time in the air sounds pretty exciting to us.
It is exciting. You get to meet a lot of interesting people and eat a lot of strange food, but you also get to communicate with a lot of these people on some of the topics that we have right here in Studio Classroom, and we take a different perspective in these different countries.
Okay, great. Well, we have a lot to talk about in this article, but I want to begin with an idiom that's quite familiar in English, and I'm curious whether my panelists for today have any thoughts on it, and that would be, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. What does that mean, Bill?
Well, that means if somebody is copying what you are doing, then what they are saying is that you're pretty good, and they actually want some of that. And
right.
So they're actually paying you a compliment.
Right. If someone starts copying me, I can take it as kind of praise from them.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Well, it depends on your perspective, because if you're the person who is doing the copying, you can say that that's a sincere form of flattery because I enjoy what you've produced. However, if you are the person who actually produced what is being copied, sometimes you don't take that as a compliment.
Mm-hmm. It might seem almost like an invasion, right?
Yeah, certainly. The people, if I am the originator of something and somebody copies it, I'm going to be upset about it because this is my idea or this is my thing. You have no right to do this, and I will get upset about it.
Right. But I think the lines get a little bit blurry here because we can't always know, well, did you really begin this idea? Is it really you that they're copying, or is it someone else? Are you really this creative person that came up with this idea in the first place? A silly example was in high school, I started wearing my hair a certain way, and then I noticed other people wearing their hair the same way, and I thought, did I start this or did it come from somewhere else completely? So we don't always know where that origin of the idea comes from. And that's sort of what our article is focusing on as we begin today. So let's get right into it so we can have lots of time to discuss. Again, we're on page 12 of your February Advanced, and we'll begin with the first column.
Is copying theft or innovation? The case of Apple versus Samsung brings a bigger issue to light. Does anyone own the rectangle? Should anyone own the rectangle? These questions may sound absurd, but they're at the heart of U.S. patent law's Battle of the Titans, Apple versus Samsung. In August, a jury awarded Apple Incorporated a whopping $1.05 billion U.S. dollars in damages. Apple had accused Samsung of copying its intellectual property, including its very broad design patents for rectangular electronic devices. And Apple wants to use those patents to stop its competitor from selling items like the new rectangular Galaxy tablet and rectangular Android-based smartphones. Apple, in designing the iPad and iPhone, created its version of a rectangular reading platform. Yet now, Apple has succeeded in punishing Samsung for much the same thing, copying a rectangular design. And this highlights a central issue in today's innovation-based economy. What is the proper balance between competition and copying?
So what is the title of our article for today, Bill?
Is copying theft or innovation?
Okay.
Yes, that's a great question.
It is a great question, and we've sort of begun asking it already, and it's a question we'll keep asking as we study this article. As we continue with the deck, it explains to us just very briefly the case of what, Craig?
The case of what they call the Battle of the Titans, and that is Apple Computer versus Samsung.
Okay, so this has been in the news, right?
Yes, it has. Even here in Taiwan, we've followed it very closely. But it really affects every place in the world because the electronics that we find today are found everywhere in the world.
Right. And so their battle, again, we're going to call it a battle of the titans, brings a bigger issue to light.
Yeah, that is actually, I think it's an idiom, bring something to light. So just imagine bring, then underline something to light. And when we do that, we actually show more attention on something that we didn't really think about. Maybe there's something, some news we need to know about. So you reveal information, you bring it to light.
Right. So you can imagine someone exploring with a flashlight. And as they turn the flashlight onto something, suddenly they're bringing it to light. So you can see what's going on. And that's exactly what this case has caused to happen in the news. So as we begin our article, there's two very interesting questions that we start off with right off the bat, Craig.
Yes, does anyone own the rectangle? Should anyone own the rectangle?
Does anyone own the rectangle?
Well, that's a good question.
I know. I'd never thought about that before because it's just a shape. We learn about it in kindergarten. I didn't really think it was something that anyone could own.
No, it's a really good question. And actually, we've had copyright cases in America and other places in the world where people have tried to take ownership of words. And, you know, common items that you would think nobody really owns. How can you own these things? But these questions are actually central to Apple's case against Samsung.
And that's exactly what it says in the next paragraph. It says these questions may sound what?
Absurd, ridiculous, or completely unreasonable.
Right. So something that's absurd might be something that you think is a little bit crazy even.
Really? And you wonder why people even spend time fighting about this.
Exactly. So it sounds just silly. But they are at the heart of this case that's going on.
Yeah, when something is at the heart of something, it is the main point. It's at the core of the argument or the discussion. And so we also might say we have to get to the heart of the matter. Mm. You have to get right down into the middle instead of this other stuff on the outside.
Okay. Now, we're talking about something to do with patent law. And Craig, can you explain a little bit about what patent law has to do with?
What patent law does, it basically provides recognition to a person or to a company for developing a certain device, a certain procedure that is used throughout the world.
Right.
And this protects them because there is a lot of investment that goes into developing certain things.
Right. So I guess if they're trying to sell something and it was their idea, other people shouldn't be allowed to sell that same thing. Right?
That's true. Actually, my father was involved in a small suit when he was younger, and we had what were called curb feelers. It was a piece of wire sticking out from the fender of the car, and when you got close to the curb, it would feel that, and you could hear the scraping sound.
Oh, smart.
Well, he worked for a large company who developed this They got all the royalties, all the money for the idea because my father worked for them. My father got nothing.
Right.
So he felt a little upset like his whole life because he lost some money that way.
And I think this happens quite a lot. And that's why patent law exists, to try to protect people from that happening to them.
It does. And it's very expensive actually to patent something.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking more than $50,000 U.S. dollars just for a simple patent.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the patent law is a division that's interested in something like this Battle of the Titans that we're talking about.
Yeah, we see Battle of the Titans, and that actually it means just a battle of two giant. They might be gods. They might be monsters. These are giant forces coming together. And the two giant forces coming together here are titans in the technology industry, Apple and Samsung.
Right. I think a movie just came out called Battle of the Titans. It has to do with an old story of Greek mythology where the very first very powerful gods kind of had this huge fight for the earth and control and so on. So it goes back to that myth. But in this case, the titans that are trying to control the earth are Apple and Samsung. And I don't think I'm really exaggerating too much when I say that.
No, they certainly are titans. And, you know, this is a fascinating battle because they're so big and they're so successful. And so they actually did they were in court for a couple of months. And then in August, there was a decision by the jury.
Right. What was it?
It was in favor of Apple Computer to get $1.5 billion in damage. The word that is used is whopping. Whopping is huge. You know, normally we think of thousands or maybe a few million dollars, but this is billions with a B.
Mm, that is whopping, an enormous size. They also use this phrase to award someone money in damages. What exactly does that mean?
Well, the jury had decided that Apple had, you know, maybe lost a certain amount of business. And so to punish Samsung for what they thought was copying intellectual property, they had to punish them. And so that was the damages. It's a financial punishment, damages.
Okay, good. Now, we have that term that we're just coming across here in line 8 and 9. Craig, it's intellectual property, and that's something that's really at the core of this article. Can you explain what it is?
Well, intellectual property is the, in a sense, patent of, you know, protecting your own ideas because you have developed something through your own innovation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, if I have a good idea, that should belong to me in a sense.
Right. And this is a huge area in litigation in the law field, intellectual property, protecting people's ideas. Could be technology, could be music, could be as far as methodology on how to run things. So it's a broad field, and it is something that it needs to be protected.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. And speaking of that being protected, we see here that we're talking about Apple's patent, but the way it's described is interesting. It's very broad design patent for what?
For rectangular electronic devices. So, and just those three words cover so much, rectangular electronic devices.
Right. That doesn't narrow it down very much.
Well, no. I mean, you could be talking about something as small as an iPod to something that goes as big as a computer,
right?
You know, a large computer.
Yes. And we call that very broad for that reason, because it could describe so many different things. But Apple still, it says, wants to use those patents to do what?
To stop its competitor from selling items like the new rectangular Galaxy tablet and rectangular Android-based smartphones.
It sounds like our author is using maybe just a little bit of sarcasm here.
I would think so, and I would be a little sarcastic too. You know, just how much is enough? Do they expect somebody else now to make round iPods or equivalent of round iPods or triangular iPods?
Right.
And is that going to be patented too?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it is, you know, it's a good question here. Okay, how far do we go with all of this? And there's a reason Apple targeted Samsung is because Samsung is their most successful competitor. They are the biggest competitor, so they've got to go after the biggest fish.
Right. But it seems silly for them to say, no, nobody can use anything rectangular. That's our territory.
Well, now, good point, Naomi. And of course, anybody who would read this would think, this is silly. This is ridiculous. But you have to understand the strategy behind Apple is that we're going to push this as much as we can. We've got these patents. We're going to see what we can, how far we can go with this. And it's worth them to try and do this to see if they can protect it. Maybe even inside their company, they probably realize this is kind of ridiculous. However, we got this paperwork says we can do it.
Okay. And so in the next paragraph, we sort of get a little bit more about Apple's, their mode of operation, how they're trying to move forward here. As we continue on line 15, what do we read, Craig?
Okay. Apple, in designing the iPad and iPhone, created its version of a rectangular reading platform. Now, a platform is basically a certain kind of computer program, and the other programs that follow come along working on that same program, such as you run Windows 7. Now there's Windows 8. Those are two different platforms.
Okay, good. And it can refer to all kinds of ways of doing something. Basically, it's sort of like a vehicle for getting some sort of information across or accomplishing some kind of task. And we are going to talk about this later this month as well, about online learning platforms and social media platforms. There's so many different kinds. In this case, we are talking about that rectangular reading platform, which, again, to me sounds familiar because there's so many of those.
Yeah, it's not just Samsung, but there are many companies making these devices. But as we see from the jury's decision in our next line, line 17, yet now Apple has succeeded in punishing Samsung for much the same thing, copying a rectangular design.
Right. So our author is basically saying, well, Apple didn't invent this platform in the first place. They just sort of adapted it to suit their purposes, and now they're trying to get Samsung for doing the same thing, trying to punish them, which I think is just fascinating that they're turning around and trying to do that. Our article says this highlights a central issue in today's innovation-based economy. So this, again, sort of shines a light or shows us a very big issue. What is the issue?
Well, basically, what is the balance between competition and copying? Where do we draw the line?
Okay, very good question. Let's learn more about it in our second reading for today.
Copying and creating. Intellectual property law is based on the notion that copying is bad for creativity. It is usually cheaper to copy something than create something wholly new. If innovators are not protected against imitation, they will not invest in more innovation. At least, that's how the story goes. The real world, however, tells a different story. Imitation is at the center of an enormous amount of innovation. Rules against copying are sometimes necessary, but in many cases, they serve to slow down innovation. Copying, in short, is often central to creativity. How can copying be beneficial? Because it can enable as well as inhibit innovation. When we think of innovation, we usually picture a lonely genius toiling away until he or she finally has an aha moment. In fact, innovation is often an incremental, collective, and competitive process. And the ability to build on existing creative work is critical to the creation of new and better things.
Okay, so intellectual property law is sort of the topic of today's article, which sounds really kind of heavy and complicated, but actually the issue is not, it's not as deep as you might think from those big words like intellectual property. Basically, we're talking about what kind of notion here, Bill?
Well, it's based on the notion that copying is bad for creativity.
Okay, so if I copy, then I'm not really being creative.
No, it's just it's kind of saying in this case you're not coming up with a new idea. You're just taking somebody else's good idea and using it for your own benefit.
Okay, so you're not really thinking as much. It's also usually, this is an important point, I think, Craig. They're bringing up another issue to do with intellectual property law.
But besides being cheaper to copy something, it also creates something wholly new.
Okay, you want to make money when you create something new, right?
True.
So if it's cheaper to just copy, well, great, I can make more money.
Well, it depends on what end of the stick you're at.
Oh, that's true.
If you're the person who put up all the money at the beginning to get the patents, to get the idea sold to somebody, to investors, and then somebody else comes in and they just make a cheap imitation copy with one change, which is a little bit better, I don't get any protection out of that.
Right.
I'm hurt financially.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, if innovators are not protected against imitation, they will not invest in more innovation. That is actually the basis for intellectual property law. We need to protect the people that originally come up with the ideas.
Okay. So, well, at least that's how the story goes. So our author is putting that little phrase in there to say that may not be the complete picture here. And in the next paragraph, we see a bit of a different perspective.
The real world, however, tells a different story. That is, imitation is at the center of an enormous amount of innovation.
Okay. So imitation, once again, means basically copying someone else. And they're saying that actually copying is where innovation comes from.
Yeah, because what happens is when people do make copies, they also, somewhere along the way, actually in the process, they might make slight improvements to things. They might make slight changes that actually make the original product better.
Okay. Now, they are saying still, you know, rules against copying are sometimes necessary.
Yeah, but in many cases, though, it slows down the process of innovation.
Do you think that's true?
It depends on what you're involved in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, I'll go back to that one line there, Naomi. The rules against copying are sometimes necessary. There are cases where this is true. For instance, I'm thinking in the medical field that pharmaceutical companies will file patents. They will develop medicine, which takes years of testing to protect patients. And so there's a reason for that they get patents in this. And it's not just a matter of protecting the companies and their investment, but there's also protection there for consumers that are involved. So that's an area where some of the rules are good.
Or again, in the case of your father, Craig,
yes,
where it really was his idea.
That's true. But unfortunately, he didn't have the backing. He didn't have the resources to protect himself.
Right. However, when it is a more general idea and people are just sort of tweaking on something that's kind of been around for a long time, then sometimes all of these patents can really just slow down the process of creating new things.
Yeah, and that's that next sentence there. As far as slowing down innovation, leading into the next sentence, copying in short is often central to creativity. So, first off, in short, that's just a cute little idiom we've got right there. We're saying copying in short. That means, okay, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You can put the word basically in there.
Sure. Or let me just put it in the most simple terms that I can.
Yeah.
Copying is central to creativity in many cases, which does make sense to me, I think. And our author is going to continue by explaining more about why they think that's true. And so in the next paragraph, we ask that question, how can copying be beneficial? If something's beneficial, it means it's good for the other people involved. And what is their answer?
Their answer is basically because it can enable, allow, as well as to inhibit innovation.
Okay, so to enable, allow or to sort of, let something happen or almost encourage it to happen.
Yeah, that sentence there actually is saying both pro and con. It can enable or inhibit innovation. So it's answering the question both ways. And when we inhibit something, we are actually preventing the growth of something, the development. We might inhibit somebody's growth. It means we might keep them from maturing or becoming their full selves.
Exactly. And I think that this is a great sentence because it has basically the two opposite words here, to enable and to inhibit are the opposite of each other. So when we think of innovation, what do we usually picture?
We usually picture a lonely genius toiling away. You can picture some little man stuck in a dark room, tinkering back and forth, trying to make something a little bit better. And finally, he has a aha moment.
Okay.
I did it.
Right.
I actually did it.
This is the secret. I figured it out. And of course, that's what we think of when we think of an inventor, right? Sort of a mad scientist type, like trying to figure it out.
And unfortunately, the inventor sometimes gets no recognition for what he's done.
Right.
That's what's sad.
Definitely. Yeah. But in fact, this article is focusing on sort of another group of people, right?
Yeah, we're talking about a larger group of people because, yes, we think, well, it's a magical moment when idea comes to a person, but actually innovation is often an incremental, collective, and competitive process.
Whew, that's a lot of words to discuss. Some adjectives that we should all underline. What's the first one? Incremental.
Incremental. That's where we make small steps in the right direction. So a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Progress.
Okay, good. Yeah. The next one is collective. What do we mean by that, Craig?
We share. We bring together many different ideas to make this little incremental step.
So it's a group effort.
It sure is.
And finally, competitive.
Sure, competitive. That is the thing that drives people to try and want to do this, be innovative, get better, make something better. I want to come up with the next best thing.
Mm-hmm. So there's a contrast here between, again, that single lonely guy in his workshop trying to find the magical secret to his innovation and this sort of group effort that's all working together step by step. That's two very different ideas, I think.
Yeah, it is. And actually, the reality of today, for the most part, is this latter one, the collective, incremental process. You've got firms like Apple, Samsung. They have thousands of engineers, research and development people working on things, and that's how most of the new technology comes about.
Right. And so our final sentence for today?
And the ability to build on existing creative work is critical to the creation of new and better things.
Okay. I think that's a fair statement. I mean, it is a little tricky because, again, we do want the people who think of great ideas to be protected. At the same time, I think it makes sense to say it's a process.
Sure, because the great idea might only be a beginning, and there will be greater things later on. This is just the starting point, and more people should be allowed to work on this to make it better for the greater good of all people.
Okay. Well, and this is just the starting point for our article. So we have two more days to discuss more trends in this field and different examples of how sometimes copying can be also very creative. So please come back and join us tomorrow for another day of this article. We'll see you then.